Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show. Spurge is going to be with us here momentarily. He went down to the Suns stuff last night, and it was crazy overnight. If you're just checking in for the first time, with the team coming back after winning, if you didn't hear, they won. They swept out Denver. So I want to have Spurge jump in on what he saw. He was right in the middle of it. DeAndre Ayton actually got out of his car, like stood up with his sunroof, and well, I'll let Spurge tell you about that. So we'll have that. Chris Sheridan with Sheridan Hoops, a national view of the Sun and their victory for the Suns over Denver. Chris, of course, one of the leading voices out there with basketball news. And then Espo. We'll have the local view from Greg Esposito. Espo, we'll be with us. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. All right, so let's start with the Suns, and Spurge is going to join us here momentarily. So whenever he just jumps in, we'll shift gears. It's crazy, right? We have said that it's a Suns town. We have said that repeatedly, that it's a Suns town. I've had people say, "Oh, no." You know, when the Cardinals get going, no, when the Cardinals get going, it's fine. It's fine. But remember, it's just in January, it is just a week here, and then wait for a week. And then in this space, it is every other day. And because the Suns have been here, this is why when I was angry for 10 years, I was an angry human being for a long time because I know what it's like. I know what 94 through 2012 or 2010 was like in being around the Suns. I know the last 10 years and being around them, it was not fun. So when people are like, "Boy, you're so negative, you're so hateful." No, it's just I know that this, what we are experiencing right now, is what we should be experiencing most every year. We really should. There's no reason why you can't get people to come here. And I'm glad that they're in this space. Chris Paul's played like an MVP. Devin Booker last night showing that he's not afraid of the Joker at all, getting right in his face. Jokic should have been thrown out. Doesn't matter if he's the MVP or not. Now, you could make the argument that if it were LeBron James that did that play, yeah, you could. You could, and you may even be right. But there was no question in my mind that there was intent there and that it was flagrant. All right, so Jokic being thrown out. So they're, you know, now they're going to sit, and they're going to sit for maybe a week, which is great, or is it not? We'll talk to Chris Sheridan about that in a few minutes, and then Espo as well. All right, Spurge is going to jump in here. Spurge is out because last night Spurge decided, "Oh, turn your camera sideways the other way. There you go. See, you guys are going to see this in real time how it works." Because I just said, "You know what? You were so good with what you did last night. You're sideways, man. Flip it. There you go. Or go the other way if you want. I don't know. You know, it's
There we go.
just
That'll work.
that'll work. It's fine." Oh, there you go. All right. So you look a little bleary-eyed. Spurge decided last night. Okay, so I'll just let you walk through what you decided to do after the Suns won and why you're bleary-eyed and look a little rough this morning.
Definitely a little rough this morning. Didn't charge my phone, was late to a car dealership appointment, but that's beside the point. So last night, I'm sitting out at Whiskey Row, just watching the game. First off, I ended up writing the game story. Things happen. A lot of fun there. I was able to write it on my phone, so I was pivoting there. Then I was scrolling through Twitter with my friends, and we're like, "Hey, there's this guy. I believe it's Bird Gang Travel, and he follows like all the Arizona sports teams and their travel schedule. And he posted that there's gonna be the flight's gonna land at like 10:42 p.m. at Sky Harbor, kind of in the private section where all the nice people fly and all the private jets come in, all the private planes." And he wanted fans to go out. And I was thinking, I'm like, "Okay, I know this is a Suns town. I know anyone that's not in Denver that's diehard is going to want to be there. I want to check it out and just see what it's like." I wasn't sure if there'd be 10 people. I wasn't sure if there'd be 1,000 people. I don't know what the number was, but it was probably a lot closer to the 1,000 than it was to 10. And so I went there and just took my camera to get some photos and used my phone to take some videos and just kind of capture the moments of everyone just going crazy for the Suns team.
That is so awesome. I got up this morning. I actually was thinking about it last night because back in the day, yeah, you go to the airport and there would be, it started out with like a couple hundred fans and then it would grow and grow and grow and it became a thing. So you have a lot of video from last night. I think to me, when I saw what you got with DeAndre Ayton, where Ayton stood up out of the car, So what was he driving? He wasn't driving, was he? He had a driver, right? Or was it him that just parked and stood up out of his car?
Yeah, he had a driver. His girlfriend was hanging outside, or assuming his girlfriend or whoever was there was hanging outside the window getting video of him. There's a video that he posted, like, from his perspective of it. He was the last one, so maybe he kind of knew what was going on and decided to add some flair and really get the crowd going. That seems like DeAndre Ayton. That's kind of part of who he is. He loves interacting with fans. So that was pretty cool. I was amazed that he could fit through the sunroof. I was, like, shocked when I saw that happen. I didn't think a 7-footer is going to come through the sunroof of their car. But he had his Rolls Royce. There was plenty of space for him to do it. So I guess that helps. And, yeah, that was really cool. Monty Williams was the first one to come out.
Yeah.
And people were just, like, berating his car. And he had no problem with it. He was talking to people and fist bumping kids. And there was little kids being interviewed by all the news stations after because they got to touch someone's fist. And it was just, like, everyone was just having a good time. Cops kind of gave up on keeping people away from the cars eventually.
Yeah.
Because most of the players were pretty cool about it.
Yeah. What stood out to you most of the guys driving? Like, was there a car, like, I would not have expected this player to be driving this when you're down there in the middle of it all? Or did you not even have time to think about that?
Yeah, I honestly didn't have too much time to think about it. I mean, I guess I wasn't that shocked, but a lot of people were that Devin Booker wasn't driving, because most of the players were driving except for DeAndre Ayton and then Devin Booker. Devin Booker he was in the back seat. He had his driver and then his dog, Haven. His big dog, Haven, was in the passenger seat riding shotgun. So that was pretty shocking to me. Like, Devin Booker wasn't even riding shotgun. His dog was. That's how cool the dog is. And so that was pretty cool to see. But I didn't know that Monty was a Dodge Ram guy. I mean, I guess that stands out. I wasn't expecting him to be a Dodge Ram guy, but he was. It was pretty souped up, which was cool. But, yeah, it was just a whole experience seeing all of them come out.
Was there a player that stuck around that you were like, wow, that's cool, this guy who's not really the main guy? That
Jay Crowder.
Around. Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder, yeah. Stuck around, yeah. He stuck around.
I can
around.
See that, though. Can't you? I mean, I love Jay Crowder's grit. From the day they signed him, it's like, okay, this is a badass. They need badasses on this team. But he's a cool dude, it seems like, when he's off the court. Even when he's on the court, how he handles himself.
Yeah, Jay Crowder, I'm not surprised. I mean, he's been made available for all 7 wins after each game. He's been the one that's talked every single time. So I'm not really surprised, but he stuck around for a bit. Mikal Bridges was someone that people were, like, really excited to see, and he kind of did his thing. He posted, like, videos on his Instagram story about the experience. Torrey Craig, too. Torrey Craig was very into it. He was, like, blown away on his Instagram, you could see. So when you look back from everyone's perspective on the outside, they're like, oh, it's Torrey Craig, sweet. And then from his side, inside the car, he was like, wow, that's really cool. Also, sorry about whatever car that is.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's live, you know. It's the way it works. Yep. Spurge is with us. Spurge was at the Suns last night. Was it last night or this morning? I mean, I saw your stuff this morning, so I'm guessing midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m.?
Yeah, we got out of there a little after midnight. The flight was supposed to land at 10:29. When we first heard about it, by the time we got there, it was 11:29. So whatever happened to the runway, delays happened, that's flying.
Yeah.
But fans weren't even fazed by it. They were ready to stick around, and chants were going on and off. Anytime a TV camera went on, people were going crazy, die down for a couple of minutes, and then go crazy again. And it was a whole experience. But everyone that was there was just glad to be there. You had fans holding things up from the paper from 93.
Yep.
Back, you know, last time they were really this relevant. I know there was a couple playoff runs here in the 2000s, but that's really the last time that a lot of them said they felt like the whole community was around this team. And so they're feeling that again.
Yeah, the cool thing, I think, from seeing your video is we're seeing kids. Because when you stink for 10 years, you know, you're losing a whole generation. And so now there's these people that were in there, the kids that were like 4 the last time the Suns were in the playoffs. Now they're 14. They're in high school. They haven't experienced any of this. And so I saw a lot of kids out there last night. And I love that part of it. Do you want the Clippers or Utah, Spurge? Who do you think is the better matchup?
I don't think it's necessarily going to matter. You're either going to have Donovan Mitchell you got to take care of, or you're going to have Kawhi Leonard you got to take care of. I think Utah plays a more similar brand of basketball to the Suns. They're not as deep, but they play a more similar brand. The Clippers are hit and miss. They're either the best team in the NBA or a middle-of-the-pack team, depending on how Kawhi is feeling that day. So I think, honestly, if you're the Suns, you don't really care who that is. I know that's kind of the cliche, kind of cop-out answer, but
yes,
I don't
think they really care. Yes, it is a cop-out answer, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't think they really care, but home court's nice. So the Clippers would be a good matchup. Home court's always nice.
All right. That was a great job you did last night. And the fact that you've spun back around and you're getting things done, this is how it works in the business. You know, you have a huge story and then you got to find time to go get a car done or whatever. So get out of here. Good work. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
All right. There is Spurge. And we're back with Chris Sheridan and Sheridan Hoops and then Espo after this timeout. As promised, Chris Sheridan now with us. We've had not had Chris on in a while. He is doing a lot. Senior basketball columnist to basketballnews.com. He is going to be in Tokyo to cover Team USA. He is all over the place on the gaming front and sports betting becoming legalized here in Arizona. I thought it'd be good to track down Chris, and producer Steve was able to do that. It is good to see you a day after the Suns come up with was it remarkable? Was it amazing? Were you stunned they swept Denver, Chris? Let's just start there.
Why would anybody be stunned? This is the second best team in the NBA. They went 8-0 in the bubble last year, and the NBA changed the rules because of the Suns, and they let more teams into the play-in. They were, I believe, fourth in the league, or if not fourth, fifth in point differential. They had the second best record in the league. They swept the Utah Jazz this year. If I'm not mistaken, yes, they were 3-0 against the Jazz. Yep. So why is anybody surprised? Because they don't have that much playoff experience together, because they don't have that much chemistry together. Okay, those are valid reasons. It's Chris's first year there. Devin hasn't done anything in the playoffs, but Jay Crowder has. DeAndre Ayton hasn't done anything in the playoffs, but he sure is acquitting himself quite well. You know, I think people are surprised because the Phoenix Suns were not on national TV a whole lot this year. And, you know, we were up to our eyeballs in Clippers games and Nets games and Lakers games. But what we have left is seven teams in the NBA playoffs. And quite honestly, Brad, I think all of them have a legitimate chance to win the championship.
Jokic, let's go back to the play last night. You're sitting there and you're watching it. Are you screaming, that's not a flagrant two, or because he came through with such intent? How did you see it?
If you read the rule by the letter of the law, these rules evolve over time in the NBA. That is a flagrant two because he wound up, swung at the ball, but he raked Cameron Payne across the nose. That is a flagrant foul. And clearly with the Nuggets, their emotions got the best of them. And that was not a good team. That's not the Nuggets team that we saw in last year's playoffs. And they really, really missed Jamal Murray's scoring. Mike Malone finally shook up the lineup for game four. That was probably about a game too late. But back to the foul, that is clearly a flagrant foul. And the refs reviewed it and ruled correctly. You can swipe at the ball as hard as you want, but if you whack a guy across the bridge of the nose like he did, that's a flagrant two, and you do get ejected. So I'm in total agreement with the refs on that one. I think they called it properly. And look, Jokic said he was sorry afterwards. So, in the heat of battle, that kind of stuff happens. And at least he was a big enough guy to say, I'm sorry. And hopefully both teams move on and that doesn't become an issue next year, because it really shouldn't. I think in the heat of battle, these type of things happen all the time in NBA ball games. If a guy says he's sorry, he's sorry. And let's take him at his word.
Chris Sheridan with a senior basketball columnist with basketballnews.com. Make sure you check out his content on that front, as well as other places too. When I look at where the Suns are today and I see where Chris Paul is, when he came here last summer, they had Ricky Rubio before him, and it was clear they needed to upgrade. This thing had been in the ditch. You know this following the NBA through the years and with the Suns. This was a model franchise under Jerry Colangelo. Robert Sarver drove it into the ground. They had no point guard. They bring Ricky in. They did fine. Did you believe when Chris Paul came here, you're like, okay, that's probably going to help Phoenix get over the hump? Or are you surprised with where they are today with him?
Well, I thought it was going to definitely get them over the hump. But what was the hump? Putting them into the Western Conference Finals? No, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. Quite honestly, I did not see that coming. But Chris Paul has a lot of basketball left. And, let's look at some of his numbers. 44% in that series on threes. This is not the Chris Paul we saw against the Lakers. This was a different version of Chris Paul because he's healed. He shot almost 51% overall. And then the assist versus the turnovers was, I have it written down for a column I'm writing, but I'm not going to look at that while I look at the camera for your show. It was one of the best playoff series Chris Paul has ever had. And I think it bears mentioning that we saw Chris Paul play with James Harden a lot with the Houston Rockets in the playoffs. And those guys, they had their moments, but James became very, very ball dominant in the fourth quarters of big games. And that happened year after year after year. And it sort of took away from what Chris Paul offers. Now that the two of them are separate, James is in Brooklyn and Chris is in Phoenix, we're starting to see the Chris Paul that we got to know back when he was playing for New Orleans. He's a heck of a ball distributor, heck of a mid-range shooter. I don't know who he's been practicing three-pointers with, but that guy deserves a raise. And you know, he's a distributor, and he's getting his teammates involved, and he's not making mistakes. He's smart. Let's not forget he's president of the Players Union. This is a perfect setup for him. And I'm interested to see what they do in the next round, whether it's the Clippers or whether it's the Jazz, throughout the regular season. Even though the Suns did go 3-0 against the Jazz and they were only 1-2 against the Clippers, I think to a certain degree, players were going through the motions during the regular season. Everybody was getting paid and kind of riding out the pandemic. But what we're seeing, the intensity of these playoffs is on a whole different level. And the teams that try the hardest and really want to win are showing it right now. And we're seeing that from Philadelphia. We certainly saw it yesterday from Phoenix and from Milwaukee as well. And I'm kind of hoping that the Hawks win tonight and that the other series gets, stays interesting, because the more basketball, the better. It keeps us all sane.
You know, in terms of Chris Paul, you had a note this morning in your Twitter feed that was really cool. And it's on the betting side of things about NBA Finals MVPs, and to give fans context, but also bring in the sports betting part of this, because it is becoming a thing. And I'd like to get your thoughts on Chris Paul MVP and dollars that are out there on him.
There aren't many dollars out there on him. Most of the sports gambling is now legal in about 27 states and the District of Columbia. By the end of the year, it'll be legalized here in New York and right up the road in Connecticut. Arizona has it legal. Anybody who watches is seeing all the commercials. Charles Barkley told me earlier this year, they're going to make so much money from sports gambling going forward, they're not even going to need the TV money. So this is a monster industry with phenomenal growth. And I don't know that it's the healthiest thing, but if you keep your bets small, then you can have a little bit of fun with it. But as far as Chris Paul for MVP, nobody's betting any money on it. Everybody's putting their money on James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Donovan Mitchell. These are the guys with the lowest odds because the sports books are convinced of two things, that it's going to be a Brooklyn-Utah final, in spite of the fact that Kyrie just went down, and the Nets could very well fall behind tomorrow night at the Barclays Center, a game I'll be covering. And also you have to remember that the books are in the business of making money. So they'll put nice odds out there on teams that no one generally bets on. I put $10 on Joe Ingles for Finals MVP. I got him at 150-1. I got Jordan Clarkson also at 150-1.
Yeah.
And Saturday morning I got Rudy Gobert at 25-1 because I like that Utah team. And I think at the end of the day, with the way they shoot three pointers, you know what the heck? Put a $10 bet out there, here, there, and everywhere. And we'll see. Sorry, that's not going to go great with your viewers and the Phoenix.
Yeah, it's fine.
At the end of the day, I love that Utah Jazz team with the way they shoot three-pointers. But there's not a lot of money on Chris Paul. And, heck, if you really like Chris Paul, you could have got him 2 weeks ago at probably about 250-1 for Finals MVP. When that team was down 2-1 to the Lakers, nobody was talking about Chris Paul for MVP of the NBA Finals. But look what he's done since then. And, again, in the NBA playoffs are an evolutionary thing, and anybody can get hurt on any given day, and someone's got to step up. But the guys that stay consistent and the guys who are proven commodities through the years tend to rise to the top. We've seen that with LeBron James in 9 of the last 10 NBA finals. Maybe we're going to see it with Chris this year, but basically no one's betting on him. But the prices did get a lot lower overnight.
So, you know, in Utah's case, they were 3-0. The Suns were. Conley was hurt in one of those games, didn't play. Donovan Mitchell didn't play. On the other side, 1-2 against the Clippers, and you look at Paul George on Devin Booker, and you say, at least my view down here is, you know, going against Utah, Ayton against Gobert, okay. Ayton played really well against Joker. It may not be that bad of a matchup. I don't see it where it's a defining like gap between Utah and Phoenix. I don't. And I agree with you. The regular season, I don't really pay attention to it. Those are just kind of the notes behind it. Mm-hmm. If it's the Clippers, you know, Chris Paul and redemption, I think it's a redemption tour for him. So that one is interesting to me as well. Look at the Clippers if they were the opponent to the Suns.
Well, Patrick Beverley is going to be the guy that's guarding Chris Paul, and Patrick Beverley is one of the best on-the-ball defenders in the NBA.
He's a dog.
There aren't many like him out there, and when you have one who's as good as Beverley is, the Jazz have been saying, Joe Ingles said it the other night, whoever Beverley's guarding, pass the ball somewhere else, because that guy is a tough, tough, gritty defender. And again, there's only a few of those guys left. There's, you know, you have Robert Covington, trying to think, there's somebody else who I'm spacing right now who's out there. So, Matisse Thybulle, we're going to see him play a bigger role tonight. He's going to get the matchup on Trae Young, and he's probably going to have it for the whole game because Danny Green is out for 2 weeks. Danny Green's another one. He's just good at defending in the current NBA, under the current NBA rules, which are make it very, very hard to play defense. I mean, you can't even jump up and guard a three-pointer because the guy might come down and land on your foot, and that's now a flagrant foul. That wouldn't happen in David Stern's NBA, but it's happening in Adam Silver's NBA, and like it or not, those are the rules. So, and again, as you mentioned, Paul George on Devin Booker, that's a long-rangey defender. And so I think the Clippers match up a heck of a lot better than the Jazz do against the Suns. But again, I think the Jazz are going to – their shooting is going to carry them through this series. That loss of theirs the other night was an outlier game. That was their second worst loss of the season. They had won like 37-point loss when they came to New York and had a lost weekend and lost to the Knicks and the Nets on a back-to-back. That was very, very early in the season. So, and if Conley is back by the time the Western Conference Finals roll around, which would seem likely, and Utah is at full strength, that would be a heck of a matchup. And as far as the Clippers go, you know, Rajon Rondo has not been playing the last couple of days, but they're keeping that guy in reserve. Remember, the Lakers pulled him out last year in the finals, and in the defining game five, the best player on the court was 35, 36-year-old Rajon Rondo. The guy's got a lot of miles on his wheels, and the Clippers are kind of keeping him in reserve. And between Beverley, Rondo, and Reggie Jackson, who's been starting and playing terrific in the playoffs, they match up pretty well with Phoenix at the guard position. So, I don't know. Let's get there first. The Suns get to sit back and relax for a week. And
is that a good thing, Chris?
Come to that 115-degree weather you have out there. So, go ahead.
Chris, is that a good thing for the Suns to be off? This looks like it could be 8-10 days. If that series stretches to 7, they're not going to be playing for, you know, a week and a half. Is that a good thing?
They better make it a good thing. And use their time well and get in some practice time and stay together as a group and stay conditioned. I think they'll kick the rust off in game one after a quarter or quarter and a half. And Brad, you and I have both been to enough NBA games to know that these games are decided in the third and fourth quarters. So you have to make it a good thing. You don't control the schedule. You don't control what goes on in these other series. So deal with it. And if you're going to look at it as a bad thing, you're making a negative out of what could be a positive. So if I'm Monty Williams and James Jones, I sit down and I say, okay, we all eat well for a week and we all do a little extra running and a little extra practicing. And we watch the games together and we do some team bonding activities. Let's keep the team together. Let's not break apart over this long, long break, because this is one of the longer breaks you'll see an NBA team ever get during the playoffs.
Yeah, don't go to Cabo. Don't go to Vegas. You know, don't do the just stay right here. Before I get Chris out of here, he asked me off the air before we started about the gorilla dog. So you just were ranting about it. I have not been to the concessionaire since we started going back. I don't remember seeing the Gorilla Dog up there. I could be wrong. Suns fans might crush me on this. What is your deal with the Gorilla Dog, Chris?
The Gorilla Dog is the single greatest hot dog I've ever had. And let me tell you something. I eat a lot of hot dogs. I spent a lot of time covering the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs. And I used to go to Eastern Market in Detroit with my rental car, pick up like 50 to 100 hot dogs and fly home and distribute hot dogs around the New York area to not only to my friends, but to guys who sell hot dogs here and say, can you get your hands on some of these things? They're from Eastern Market in Detroit. It's the best hot dog market ever. But, you know, nobody in New York is going to order a hot dog from all the way out in Phoenix, Arizona. But I had that thing once.
Yeah.
And it was well over 20 years ago. But the single greatest hot dog I've ever had in my life, and we're talking thousands and thousands of hot dogs, was the Gorilla Dog at what used to be called America West Arena. So if that thing is indeed gone, everybody rise up. And the Gorilla Dog is back for the Western Conference Finals, and everybody eat two, and then everybody jog like 20 miles because that is a big hot dog, and you got to work it off.
Oh my gosh. And we'll leave it with that. That's great. Always leave them laughing. Chris, appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks.
All right, Brad, thanks for having me on the show, and good luck to Suns fans. I hope we get a 7-game Western Conference Finals and we get a lot of drama and a lot more basketball.
That is Chris Sheridan. You can find all this content on basketballnews.com. And again, he's at Sheridan Hoops on social media, on Twitter. We appreciate Chris's time, and we're back with more after this timeout. And now we just keep playing the hits on Monday. We go from Spurge in the middle of all the bedlam last night at midnight. He's right in the middle of it with Ayton getting out of his car and all that. And then we had Chris Sheridan on from a National View. He's doing some gambling stuff too. To locally, there's none better than Espo. Here is the Sun Solar Panel Espo. It's like 3 weeks in a row I've had you. I'm gonna have to start paying you. I don't know. I mean, it's nice of you to come on and all that. Are you basking in glory today?
I want that Peter King money, is all I'm saying. But yeah, it's been fun. The best part of all of this is it's reminding me of some of my favorite memories growing up in this valley. You know, the way we all came together around 93 team, those 7 seconds or less teams. There's just a spirit going on here right now that's been a while since we felt it, and coming out of a pandemic. A very long while. And coming out of a pandemic, it's just nice to be able to experience something as a group again and be together for it. It's been a lot of fun.
Espo with the Sun Solar Panel. Check out all of his content. All right. So let's just take a big step back on all of this, because I'm having people now starting to say, I just don't think that I'm old. Okay. I guess I don't feel old. I'm not old, but there are people saying this is the greatest Suns team ever. I guess if you've never experienced it before, like they think this is better than the 2009 team or the 93 team. First of all, they're just through two rounds of the playoffs. Let's just get that straight right up front. Mm-hmm. But are you in a space where you're starting to look at this team and say, wow, they have pieces that if you go through the other Suns teams that have had big success, they're at the top, Greg? Are you doing that? Some fans are.
Well, recency bias is always going to come into play with these kind of things. For me, they're the most complete team. That's not saying they're the best. They're the most complete when you look at it in every facet of the game. Offensively, they're very good. Not as good as the 7 seconds or less team, but very good. Defensively, they very well may be the best we've ever seen defensively from a Suns team. Some of those early 80s teams may be able to, you know, argue a little bit with it, but this team defensively is spectacular. And from the free throw line, they've been great as well. So when you combine that, I think they're the most complete. I don't think they're the best. When you look at talent and things that were done, 92, 93 is tough to surpass. Obviously 7 seconds or less from an offensive perspective changed the game, literally changed the game in the way it's played. So it's tough to argue that they are better offensively than those 7 seconds or less teams, but they are a disruptor, right? They're a team that looked at what the convention was right now and said, we don't care if analytics says the mid-range shot isn't good. We're going to get the two best to maybe, well, at least in Chris Paul, one of the best to ever do it. And Devin Booker's trying to stake his claim as one of the better to ever do it. And we're going to win with that and let that open up other parts of the offense. And it's been fun to watch.
Okay. So if I'm just going to go back, if I look at Rajah Bell, mm-hmm. okay. If I look at Dan Majerle and I look at Devin Booker, okay. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to go off 7 seconds or less team, it would be Rajah, right? If we're just playing the two guard position.
If you're picking who you'd rather have at the two-guard
position. If you're looking at the two-guard position and say, okay, just from a scoring standpoint, Rajah could not keep up with Devin.
No.
Okay. But the toughness of Rajah Bell. Rajah Bell's toughness, I would have taken over Devin Booker any day of the week. But in the last, since about game two of the Lakers series, when somebody somewhere threw him into a locker, or I don't know what it was, and said, please stop whining. He stopped whining. And last night when Jokic took a cheap shot, followed all the way through, and that was ejectable. It's not hometown guy. That's ejectable when you follow through. Since game two, and then Devin's right in the middle of him. Like, I've seen him grow in this space that I think in the past he was just coming across as a whiner and a complainer. Now he's more complete. Oh. Agree, disagree.
I disagree to somewhat. I mean,
really?
I think some of the frustration that he expressed was warranted when you consider the 5 years leading up to this guy put up with. I think we'd all be in a frustrated space when it comes to that if that was our professional life.
Bad teams.
Look, exactly. And that breeds some of that frustration. But now that he's in the playoffs, a stage where that's, I think, where we really gain the respect for what Rajah Bell did as an enforcer and kind of his mentality, Devin Booker's stepped up. He's gone toe-to-toe with everybody in each of these series. And last night, some people were like, oh, why would he do that? I liked that. He's saying, this is my team. I don't care if you're the MVP. You're not going to treat my guy that way. And that's what leaders do.
Well, like Austin Rivers, Espo, was being a gnat. I mean, mm-hmm. there were a few times it was like, Devin's going to lose it, and he didn't. He held his composure against the guy that was just trying his hardest because he's not nearly as talented as Devin Booker.
Yeah, look, if you look at this entire team, including Devin Booker, there's been a maturation process throughout these first 10 games in the playoffs, and we knew it was likely going to happen, right, because –
I didn't.
That experience breeds this kind of thing. And they have stepped up. And a big part of that goes to Monty Williams.
Yep.
And a big part of that goes to Chris Paul. Because these guys have a very calming demeanor. I mean, they'll show emotion, especially Chris Paul. But they know how to handle the situation. And they've helped guide both Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton to not do anything dumb. And that's what it comes down to. Show the emotion. Don't do anything dumb. You know,
Ayton had a dumb second foul last night. Dumb second foul. But that's as far as I've seen in dumb with him. I think if we're talking about the 93 team, there wasn't anybody like Jay Crowder mm-hmm. on that squad. In my opinion, there Charles had his edge, and Charles would be the physical guy that would get after people. But you know, if it was Dumas, if it was Sabalos, if it was Big Daddy Mark West, and you go down the list there on that team on the front court and say there was no one like Jay Crowder. There was no one like Rajah Bell. If we're talking about tough guys, those are two. And now Jay Crowder.
Yeah, Danny Ainge may have crossed
into
that.
He was a guard.
Well, so was Rajah. I mean, so.
Rajah could mix it up with threes, couldn't he?
That's true. I mean, yeah, Danny Ainge could annoy bigs, but he wasn't going to actually fight any of them or at least successfully win. So you're right
maybe,
there.
But, you know.
Yeah. So you're right there. But, you know, that's the thing. There's an edge about this team that there's not. They're the irritant, right? It's so many times in the playoffs, the Suns got derailed by the team that was the irritant, the team that got under your skin, the team that was just a little bit tougher, right, than you were. I feel like that's this Suns team in this playoff run. They're the ones getting under people's skins. They're the ones that are just a little bit tougher. And that's how you win in the playoffs. And credit to James Jones. He may not have been the guy that drafted the main pieces, but he's the guy that looked and went, how do we turn this into something bigger? What are the pieces that we need to turn this into a mentality to win? And he's done that fantastically.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul's grit and Jay Crowder's grit, without that grit, they're not playing still, in my opinion.
And you saw it in the Lakers series when CP3 went down, they lost a little bit of that, and they lost a little bit of that confidence, which gave that the Lakers the window to take the lead in that series early. But since then, since CP3 gutted it out, they have had that intestinal fortitude you need to keep winning.
Yeah, he's an MVP postseason guy right now. Mm-hmm. And he'd be the oldest guy since, I think, Abdul-Jabbar and LeBron. In Wilt Chamberlain, in getting that award, if he's able to do it. I know they're halfway to 16. The magic number is 8, as I like to point out. Espo's with us for a few minutes. All right, who do you want, Utah or the Clippers?
I think it's the Clippers. Look, unlike when the playoffs started and we talked and I didn't want the Lakers, I don't look at either of these teams and say, I don't want them. I look at them and go, okay, what's the slightly better matchup? And to me, I feel like it's the Clippers. When you look at the Jazz, it's these two teams are very, very much alike, right? So to me, that would make for a weird close series where it's going to come down to fringe things like, does Campaign outplay Jordan Clarkson or vice versa? Those kind of things that are a little too out of your control to make it comfortable, right? With the Clippers, I think the Suns will have some distinct advantages in the point guard position and with Ayton as the big man. I think he can more than handle Zubac and the bigs that the Clippers would throw at
Patrick
you.
Beverly, so, though, is an irritant. Patrick Beverly is an irritant. There's not a question. He's a dog with a D-A-W-G. He's going to get into guys.
Agreed.
But it's not that he's the only guy. I guess I look at Paul George's length against Booker and say that's going to be a much better matchup on Devin Booker than what the Nuggets were able to do or even the Lakers were able to do.
Agreed. I think that it'll be a difficult matchup for Booker. There's no doubt about that. But I look at it and I feel like there's more areas that you could potentially win. And you're right, Beverly isn't an irritant, but Devin Booker's gotten under Beverly's skin too. So I think it would be a very physical series, having watched the way the Clippers like to play, knowing the way that the Suns like to play. But I also believe in the basketball gods, right? I probably shouldn't admit it because it's a little kitschy, but it's the Clippers. So, if any team has worse luck with the basketball gods than the Suns, it's the Clippers. So you look at it, and you go, maybe that comes into play too. But either way, I think they're going to be a close series. I think it's going to take everything you have to get out of the West. A lot of people are looking forward, acting as if this sweep ordained it that it's time to look towards the finals. And I think that is a huge mistake. Confidence, not cocky. Enjoy it. Like Monty Williams says, don't get happy on the farm. We know the team won't, but as fans, you got to look at it and go, there's still a lot of work to do. And either of these teams coming out of the other semifinals in the West are going to be a difficult out, and you're going to have to bring your best for likely 6 or 7 games to make it happen.
All right. There is Espo. You can find all his content over on Sun Solar Panel. You sound great. You sound energized. God knows I've had you on through the years, and you sound like you're just beaten down and miserable. And the two of us are just a couple of dopes sitting on a log saying, man, this team blows. So it is fun. When a team's great, you celebrate. When a team stinks forever, you point out they stink forever. And this is fun right now. So.
Yep. You got to be honest when covering them.
Keep up the good work. Right there is Espo. And we are back with more after this timeout.